You see, the reality is we are all initially in Satan's domain. We are of Satan's family. We are in the domain of darkness. But yet when we believe in Jesus Christ and trust in Him for salvation, we are delivered from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of His beloved Son.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Dave, today it's Letter Day. I have a phone comment from Donna in North Carolina. She says, I just heard your program for the first time. It was such an excellent message. Well, Donna, thank you for your encouraging words, and we're so glad you've joined us listening to Equipping the Saints, and it's a blessing to hear. And Dave, I have another phone comment from Michael in South Dakota, and he says, I listen to you every day. He says, bless you. Well, Michael, bless you also, and it is so great to hear from our listeners, our faithful listeners such as yourself. And I just want to encourage each and everyone who listens on an ongoing basis. It is such a blessing to know that God is using His Word in your lives. And so thank you for letting us know. And with that in mind also, I'd like to thank our faithful supporters. I am so grateful to the Lord for those who continually give to support this ministry. What a blessing it is. So thank you so much. Now, with that said, we want to get right to our message, and we're quickly coming to a close in Colossians. So turn your Bibles with me to Colossians chapter 4, and we're looking at verses 7 through 11.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
And he came with Onesimus, as we'll see in a moment. So with that, indeed we have a reference in Ephesians that makes it clear that he quite possibly brought these letters. Look to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 21. But that you also may know about my circumstances, kind of the same as what we see in Colossians, how I am doing. Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister or deacon, servant, same word, in the Lord, will make everything known to you. And I have sent him to you for this very purpose, so that you may know about us and that he may comfort your hearts. So he's been sent also to the Ephesians, so sent to the Colossians. And we're going to see that. We're going to see this is a good guy that Paul could trust, that he could send on a journey. And it's thought historically that he and Onesimus brought the letters that Paul had sent. Seems like that's the case. So here, as to all my affairs, verse 7 back in our passage, you could literally say it this way, all things concerning me. Now, is Paul an egotistical man saying, I can't wait till you hear about the Apostle Paul ministries. I can't wait till you hear about all that I'm doing for Christ. No, not at all. The Apostle Paul is suffering for Christ, and people are genuinely concerned for him. They love him, and they want to hear how he's doing. How is he doing? Okay? Tychicus is going to tell you about everything about me. Tell about everything, okay? So with that in mind, notice he begins here to describe Tychicus with a threefold description, which is very enlightening for us. Notice, first of all, he calls him a beloved brother. He says, as to all my affairs, Tychicus, our beloved brother. Beloved brother, our beloved brother. Speaking of those that he's with, is our beloved brother. Here he's speaking of the reality that they had a common spiritual origin. Now, there's different words for brothers. You could have Adelphos, you know, Philadelphia, brotherly. This word for brother literally means from the same womb. Now, obviously, physically speaking, when we're from the same womb, we're brothers or in a family, physical family. Here, he's talking about the same spiritual origin. You see, the reality is we are all initially in Satan's domain. We are of Satan's family. We are in the domain of darkness. But yet when we believe in Jesus Christ and trust in Him for salvation, we are delivered from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of His beloved Son. So it talks about those who have come to faith in Jesus Christ and are of a new family. We know that we who trusted Christ have been born again from seed which is not perishable, but imperishable. That is through the living and abiding Word of God, which is imperishable. We know that when you trusted Jesus Christ, you become a child of God. 1 John 3, see how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. We are brothers and sisters in the same family. We are in the same family. We're of the same spiritual origin. And that is a prerequisite to serve the Lord. You got to be in the family of God to serve the Lord. You got to be in the family of God. No one can serve God apart from being in his family, being truly saved. Tychicus was a child of God, a brother in the faith. Now, it's important that we remember this and we think of one another as such because it is a higher relationship than our earthly relationship. It is a higher relationship. And the Lord Jesus made that clear in Luke chapter 8, verse 20. And it was reported to him, your mother and your brothers, that's physical mother and brother, says half, but you know, and that has come, says, we're standing outside wishing to see you. But he answered and said to him, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. Hey, they're believers who hear the word of God and do it. And so we've entered into a higher relationship bound by a common origin, faith in Jesus Christ and the new birth that we have. And notice, secondly, he's mentioned in a different way. He's a beloved brother, and look in our passage, and faithful servant. Faithful servant. Now, this term translated servant here is a familiar word for us, diakonos. And it simply means servant or one who serves. It speaks of doing tasks, serving tasks. That's really what it means. Now, we know from 1 Timothy chapter 3 that there are elders in the church. Those are those who are overseeing. And there are deacons. Now, unfortunately, the Baptist church, there's some great Baptist churches, but the Baptists have got it wrong. Deacons are not leaders. They are servants. They are servants. They are recognized servants. 1 Timothy 3, those who have been proven faithful and are recognized as such for the church. But we are all servants also. We are all little deacons, diakonos. And it's translated minister, as we saw back in Ephesians chapter 6. So he says here that he is a faithful diakonos. Now the term faithful speaks of trustworthiness, fidelity, dependability, consistency, reliability. I'll say it again. Trustworthiness, fidelity, dependability, consistency, reliability. You could trust Tychicus to faithfully accomplish the tasks of ministry that were given to him. You could count on him. You could trust him to accomplish the task. Now, we must remember that faithfulness, biblical faithfulness to our Lord and to his work does not come from within us. And what do I mean by that? It is the fruit of a relationship with Jesus Christ. When we abide in him, we can do what he calls us to do. And it's by his Spirit. Indeed, one of the fruits of the Spirit is faithfulness. Galatians 5, 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness. If you are not faithful, then God's Spirit is not working in you. There's no fruit. Okay? So then, he was faithful. He's a faithful diakonos, a faithful servant. And it amazes me how often people, over the years that I've been ministering, people will have certain giftings, or it's a teaching gift, and they will want to serve, but they want to serve their way and not in the context of faithfulness. It amazes me how people are so zealous for God, but so flaky and inconsistent and unfaithful. The reality is, well, let me give you an illustration here. Look at 1 Timothy 3. It talks about deacons and talks about what the requirements are for them. Recognized deacons, by the way. Recognized servants in the church. They are recognized as those, like we see in Acts chapter 16, Phoebe, who is a diakonos of the church, servant of the church. We see that in Acts 16. They're not leaders. I don't allow a woman to exercise authority or teach a man. No, we don't. But servants are serving. So, 1 Timothy 3, verse 8, deacons likewise must be men of dignity, not double-tongued, nor addicted to much wine. That's verse 8, or short again, but holding fast the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience, and let these also first be tested, to approval, by the way. Then let them serve as deacons if they're beyond reproach. Women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. You remember we saw back in chapter 1 of Colossians, verse 7, the Apostle Paul, speaking of Epaphras, said, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf. Epaphras did what Paul had him do, which Christ was having Paul have him do. He was a faithful servant.
Think about Moses. He had a lot of trouble. He had trouble from his family. He had trouble with Aaron and Miriam. He had trouble with the bad guys, you know, he had trouble with the Israelites. But what does God say of him? Hebrews 3:5, now Moses was faithful in all his house. In Numbers chapter 12, verse 17, in the context of Aaron and Miriam's jealousy, God says this about Moses. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my household. There are those who are faithful. There are those who are following the Lord who are faithful. And we see here that Tychicus is faithful. Now I ask you, what would the Lord say about you? If he was to say your name and add in faithful or not, what would he say? And I want to ask you, are you a faithful servant of Christ? Are you willing to do whatever those in who the Lord's placed in authority over you spiritually? Are you willing to do whatever they say? Are you a faithful servant on behalf of Christ? Are you like Epaphras, Tychicus? Would God call you a faithful servant? I have to admit, over times, over a long period of time, been passing for a while, I've been discouraged. You ask people to do stuff, you get the runaround, a shrug, or an attitude. Something's wrong with that. Faithful servants don't give you an attitude when you ask them to do something. But the opposite is true. How thankful I am for those, at least in my position, when I ask them to do something, and they do it joyously. Praise the Lord. Brothers and sisters, faithful servants do submit to those with spiritual authority over them. And Christ is the head, and he uses faithful servants. And the Apostle Paul is saying he's basically done everything I've asked him to do. He's faithful. Now, that's obviously in the context of Christ through the Apostle Paul and those who are leading. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul is having an issue with the Corinthians. They're kind of having problems with him. And they've got a bunch of pride issues, and they're focusing on man. I'm of this, I'm of that. And they're focusing. Paul's just saying, hey, you know, if you boast, boast in the Lord. And as he finishes that, he begins to address the issue of them examining him. Okay? And he says in chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians, let a man regard us in this manner, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. It's required. He was a faithful servant. He's a faithful servant. Paul says, faithful servant, Tychicus, faithful servant. Then notice he continues his threefold commendation, saying he is also a fellow bondservant of the Lord. As to my affairs, Tychicus, back in chapter 4, verse 7. I might have said 3 earlier, chapter 4, verse 7, Colossians. As to all my affairs, Tychicus, our beloved brother and faithful servant and fellow bond servant in the Lord. He's going to describe him in a third way. You see, although Tychicus obediently and faithfully served Paul, he was ultimately a fellow bondservant of the Lord. The term fellow bondservant levels the playing field. Paul's not saying, I'm above him. We are serving the Lord together, and it's in different giftings, right? He calls him a fellow bondservant. Now, the term fellow, soon with doulos, speaks of bondservant. And so, what does it mean? What is a bond slave? Well, it's one who is owned by Christ, having been bound over to him to do his will only. When you think of the term deacon or serving, that focuses on the tasks. When you think of the term bondservant, it focuses on the heart attitude. Your will is his will. You are serving him. Not my will, but thy will be done. That's the difference. He's a bond slave. It focuses on yielding our will to Christ, our master, and then obeying him. He is our master. With this in mind, Paul uses this term in other passages, in Colossians and in other passages. He speaks of those who are bondservants, our fellow bondservants, who are owned by Christ and bound over to do his will. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, Paul says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body. You see, Paul understood and shared that you're going to be someone's slave. You're going to be the Lord's slave, a good and gracious, wonderful master who died for you and gave himself up for you and loves you. Or you're going to be a slave to sin and thus Satan.
Romans 6:16, Paul says, "Do you not know when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are a slave to the one you obey? Either sin resulting in death or obedience resulting in righteousness? Choose your master." We are, as believers, bondservants of Jesus Christ. You've got to remember that. So do you realize you've been bought with a great price, the blood of Christ? Do you see yourself as a servant of Christ bound over to do his will? People say, "I believe Jesus." Well, then, but they don't see themselves as servants. "I believe in Jesus and I do as I please." Right? That's the attitude in church these days. "I believe in the gospel. I believe he died for my sins, but I do as I please." That's really what's going on. We've been bound over to do his will, not my will, but thy will be done. So we've been bought with a great price. Everyone's going to serve somebody or something. Joshua had to make it clear to the Israelites, "Hey, you can go back to the way you did and serve all those false gods beyond the river, or you can serve the Lord." And he says, "But as for us," and I'll read this for you, Joshua 24:14, "Now there fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth." By the way, you can tell one who knows the Lord and one who doesn't by the one who serves and one who doesn't, right? He says here, "And put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river Egypt and serve the Lord." Serve the Lord. And I say, serve the Lord. But don't play around and come to church and not serve the Lord. If you're going to come to church and not serve the Lord, go back to where you were before. He says, serve the Lord. And if it's disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourself today whom you'll serve. Whether it's the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whom your land you're living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Praise the Lord for Joshua. It's impossible to walk in a worthy manner without understanding you're serving Christ. It's impossible. And if you're serving him, we're learning to obey all that he has said, right? We're learning to obey his word. And guess what? His commandments are not burdensome. We see that in 1 John, right? It's not burdensome. So my question is, have you been bought? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you have, you are a bondservant of Christ. You've been delivered from the slavery of sin and the death that comes from it and the eternal separation and punishment. Now you have a gracious, wonderful God to serve. Great God, wonderful God. And I mentioned it earlier, but this term fellow or soon doulos speaks of equality within the servants. There's no church hierarchy. There's different giftings. Paul says, fellow bondservant. We're serving. Soon doulos. Fellow bondservant. In the Lord. In the Lord. When Paul needed a letter to the Colossians and quite possibly Ephesus delivered, he chose Tychicus. What a task. Bring the word of God. Travel. And travel wasn't like what it is today. It was dangerous and difficult. And not only did he bring the word, he was to bring encouragement. Encouragement. Look at our passage again. He says, "As to my affairs, Tychicus, our beloved brother and faithful servant and fellow bondservant in the Lord, will bring you information." He's going to bring, he's going to make things, really make things known. He's going to bring information. "For I have sent him," Paul sent him. What if Tychicus said, "I don't want to go, Paul"? Tychicus understood that it was the Lord giving those commands through Paul, and he willingly and gladly went. He's a faithful servant. "For I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know about our circumstances," hey, what's going on, "and that he may encourage your hearts." Isn't that great? We saw the same thing in Ephesians chapter 6, to encourage you, to know, hey, Paul, yeah, he's in chains, but things are going good in the Lord. God is doing things. He is using my chains for his glory. You can read that in Philippians 1, right? God calls us to be faithful. It is required. Are you faithful? Hey, it doesn't mean that things don't change, okay? We need to do what we say and say we do. Our yes needs to be yes, our no needs to be no. But God sometimes changes things. Paul said his yes is yes, his no is no, but there was a no that had to become a yes. He said it for 2 Corinthians. Because God was rearranging things. But he was submitting to the Lord. Are you faithful? It is required of stewards that one be found, and it's, by the way, be found faithful. We read this earlier during our offertory time, but it's required of faithful. We see that the faithful and sensible slave, the master will put in charge of all his households. Matthew 24. We saw the Lord Jesus as he addressed the slaves who are faithful in the parable in Matthew 25. He said, "And well done, thou good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. You can enter into torment because you served yourself all your life. Or you can enter into his joy. Yes, it's difficult to serve. You got to give up your will, right? You got to die to yourself. So then the Apostle Paul sent Tychicus to make known all his affairs and circumstances that he might encourage their hearts. And most likely he brought the letter of Colossians and Ephesians. And he is described as our beloved brother, faithful servant, and fellow bond servant. He wasn't just held over to do the Lord's will and obey him. He actually did the task he served. He was a deacon in that sense. He did the serving tasks. Okay. Well, notice someone was with him. Verse 9. And with him, Onesimus. This is interesting. He says, our faithful and beloved brother who is one of your number. Hey, he's a Colossian. Now, we can learn much about Onesimus in Paul's short letter to Philemon. From this letter, we know that Onesimus was a changed man. And you can be a changed man or woman today. You can be different. Jim was telling me about someone's walking along and had a terrible life and talking about all his troubles and stuff and been in prison and stuff. Jim invited him to church. He could be a changed man if he wanted to. Christ can change him. Change anybody. Onesimus had a sinful past. We know that he was a runaway slave. He stole money from the house of Philemon, his master, and he fled to Rome. And it's here, through God's incredible providence, that he meets the Apostle Paul, who's in chains, and he is led to saving faith in Christ. Isn't that great? And at this point, Paul sends him back to Philemon with an exhortation for Philemon to forgive Onesimus for defrauding him and running away and to welcome him as a brother in Christ. Turn to Philemon, and I want to go to verse 10. I'm not going to read the whole book, but you should read it. It's a short book. It's wonderful. Philemon, verse 10. He says, I appeal to you. This is Paul to Philemon. Okay, Philemon is Onesimus' slave owner. Okay, he's a believer. He says, I appeal to you for my child, whom I have begotten in my imprisonment, Onesimus, right? That means Paul, when he was in prison, shared the gospel, and Onesimus came to faith. And he truly did. You know, when someone comes to faith and you see no fruit, oh, it's so discouraging. There's fruit here. Who was formerly useless to you. Notice how Paul shares this. He's useless because he had run away, right? But now is useful to both you and to me. And I have sent him back to you in person, that is, sending my very heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that in your behalf he might minister to me in my imprisonment for the gospel. But without your consent, I did not want to do anything that your goodness should not be, as it were, by compulsion, but out of your own free will. For perhaps he was for this reason parted from you for a while, that you should have him back forever. No longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother. Look at that. Especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Onesimus was a good guy. He didn't say, I'm not going back to that place. He was invited. I don't want to go back to him. Onesimus did it. Traveled all the way back.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. And Greg, as we wrap up today's broadcast, give us some guidelines for applying what we've learned today.
Well, Dave, as we'll see in our next broadcast, and as we've seen throughout our study in Colossians, no one can be a faithful servant apart from trusting in a faithful God. We need to be resting in Jesus Christ, for apart from him, we can do nothing.
but we need to trust in him. We need to abide in him, and we need to have his word dwelling richly in our hearts, putting off sin and putting on Christ. It's when Christ is in control of us by his spirit through his word that we will be faithful. So with that in mind, we're not done with our study yet, so make plans to join us for tomorrow's broadcast of Equipping the Saints.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.